not a stronghold for Calgary the rest of the year. This is going to be a dogfight the rest of the way. Here to help us break down all things Flames, it is the man in charge of Flames from 80feet.ca. It is Darren Haynes. Mr. Haynes, how are you this morning?
Peter, I'm doing all right. I survived a little trip out on the roads today. I'll tell you, I'm sick of winter already.
Oh yeah, this is my annual reminder that I did not win the lottery during the summer when I have to drive on nothing but ice the entire way home.
Yeah, no, it's ugly. I can't. But what they say, above zero on the weekend. Whew, counting down the sleeps.
Yeah, love those Chinooks. The Calgary Flames were in a very cold place yesterday, Winnipeg, and it was just a game. It was just it came, it went, whatever. Is there any long term takes you can take from this game?
No, it was, I don't know if you could describe it any better than just kind of blah. They were off all night, like right up and down the lineup. Just they looked a step behind, their decisions were poor, their execution was sloppy, Gaudreau had his breakaways, didn't finish, everybody had a kind of you look at the shots at the end and they outshot them. I'm not sure how that happened because I thought it was an all-around poorly executed game by Calgary. It just looked like a team that had gotten fat lately on some of the weaker sisters in the NHL, and they ran into a team that, well, albeit below them in the standings, is a pretty motivated team, still a pretty good team playing in their home barn, and they just got outplayed.
Yeah, and I was with you when they said Calgary outshot Winnipeg in the first and then in the game. It was how? You just, because think back right now. Can you remember five shots from that game from the Flames? Nothing really stood out.
Yeah, no, like throwing lawn darts from about 100 feet away, mm-hmm. just some lobs into the old logo. Not a lot of, a couple of decent chances, and maybe the momentum in the game changes if Gaudreau's able to bury, one of the breakaways. Well, I guess the first one, but it just, from the outset, it just looked like they weren't necessarily in it, and it's going to happen. I mean, it's a 6-month grind. It's 82 games. It's a one-off road trip where you leave a cold place and you go to a probably even colder place. But they didn't bring their A game, that's for sure. And it was probably a long way away from about their D game, in my opinion.
So up next for the Flames is a date with the San Jose Sharks. And we just had Derek Wills on and kind of came to the conclusion, every game from here on in is going to be rather important. I'm not going to say we're in must-win territory already, but we're getting to the point now where you're starting to look at the standings every day and starting to see Vancouver just 3 points back of the Flames. Dallas is 4 points back. You're starting to get into that sense where, okay, kind of got to put a few wins together now.
Well, and how I look at it, Peter, is they've got to beat teams that matter. I mean, if you're going to make the playoffs, you know what you're going to do? You're going to face a team that made the playoffs. And right now they're not beating teams that are in playoff positions. They're again beating up teams that are going to be done playing hockey at the second week of April, but they're not beating the teams that are legit, those quality opponents. And that's the thing that, we talked a lot about this stretch that they just came off of where they had the seven games where six of the games were against, in my opinion, three of the weaker teams in the league. They had three Vancouvers in there, two Colorados and one Arizona mixed in with the Anaheim. So they had this stretch, and sure enough, they did what they had to do. They won five of those games, but it's hard to glean much out of that because they needed to win those, and they should win those, and they did win those, but you don't necessarily, it's hard to get, are they a great team? Are they, what are they? Because they're winning and they won, and you just don't know. So it's when they get back into playing these other teams, and San Jose is going to be a great test. Edmonton's going to be a great test. Even next week when Florida and Nashville come in, those are going to be a couple different teams. They haven't seen Nashville yet, and Nashville could very well be a team that they're competing with for one of those wild card spots. So this segment, I would call it a segment. They have 9 games coming up between now and the All-Star break. This is where let's learn a little bit about this team if we can, because we're 43 games in, and I'm not sure we have learned quite what they are yet, other than a mystery, a bubble team. But are they a little bit above bubble team? Are they a little bit below? That's what we need to find out.
Well, we were talking today with the trade deadline now exactly 7 weeks away, so really creeping up. If you could go out and make a big trade for the Flames, what's one thing you would look for? But then if you make that big, is this a team that's one big trade away from the Dallas or from the Chicago's and the St. Louis's starting to really shake in their boots? Or is this just a team destined to be kind of a wild card, maybe a three in the Pacific and then battling for one playoff win?
Yeah, I think they expected to be better. They made acquisitions in the offseason to make them better, to give them some flexibility and goal. They brought Brouwer in for 4 years. You know, Troy Brouwer is a guy that's not here to drive possession of the play. He's here to be an impact on the playoffs. He's here for 4 years, and they hope to make the playoffs most of that time. This is the swing year for me. I don't know if they expected – they're not going to say this publicly, but – this might be still a little early. You look at the age and the young core up front still. I think this is still a little bit early, and I think Brad Treliving, I would be surprised if there's any mortgaging of the future trying to go on a run this year. I think if you can get in, maybe make some noise, maybe ride a hot goalie, get a couple rounds, I think that's a little bit bonus for this year. So come trade deadline, I would suggest that there'll probably be more bodies moving out than moving in. Just my opinion at where they're at right now. You don't want to, I mean, you got to keep your eye on the big picture. And I think that's not necessarily this year, it's beyond, because we have a lot of change coming up, a lot of big contracts coming off the books. So I think you do what you can. If they can get in the playoffs, that's great. But I think the focus needs to be on kind of beyond that. And the fine-tuning that will happen at trade deadline isn't going to be a lot of high-end deals that maybe people might want to see.
I almost wonder, and just thought of this now, but this is a very much a seller's market in the NHL. There's only, at this point, five or six teams that would be in full sell mode. If the right deal came along, would you hate it if the Flames made kind of a seller-ish? I'm not saying completely blow everything up, Geo and Brody and Hamilton and everyone have to go, but if the right move came along, I don't know if it'd be the worst thing in the world if a sell-type move happened for the Flames.
No, absolutely, and that's the thing, right? You look at where they were at 2 years ago when they were right in the playoff race. They were a couple points out of the trade deadline, maybe one point out, and they dealt Curtis Glencross, who was, you know, definitely one of their top nine forwards. It didn't matter, and they didn't bring anyone in for an injured Mark Giordano. They just said, this kind of, we know where we're at, right? So if you look at the UFAs that are on the books, and Brad Treliving has shown a penchant for getting assets back, you know, whatever it is. Like, look at the extent he went to. I mean, my God, talking Nicholas Backstrom to waive his no trade clause just to get a sixth round pick for him, right? Like, just or for David Jones to get because that was the caveat, right? So just the extent that he went to try and get assets back last year at the trade deadline makes me almost expect to see some movement this year. And you look at who those UFAs are, and you know, again, can you sell Dennis Weidman to the rest of the league saying, hey, he's a top four guy, you know, there's less money owing now, we'll even eat a little bit of it. I'm not sure, but I mean, you know, he's going to try, and there's some other guys in that category. I'm actually fascinated. Is there a possibility they have two goalies that are both UFAs? If they've made the decision that if they think maybe Chad Johnson is just the better fit, if he's maybe the guy that they think might be the better option for kind of a longer term period in Calgary, do they consider moving Brian Elliott? I mean, it's not out of the question. So there will be some, you know, lots we'll learn between now and then. And part of that will hinge on how the team fares. But if they continue to kind of be up and down and kind of, and that's probably what they will, you know, it's going to be one of those deadlines where they're not really out of it. They're not really in it. Let's sit back and see what they do.
And I think one of the players who could help their fate in determining whether they're in it or out of it is Sean Monahan. And when the team's on winning streaks and everything's going good, it's fine. But when you're losing 2-0 to the Winnipeg Jets, people start to take a bit of a fine-tooth comb to things. And this has not been the year for Sean Monahan this year. And he gets off to slow starts, and we all understand that. We're 43 games into the season. We're past the slow start point.
Yeah, and that's he's a big factor. I think Johnny Gaudreau is in that camp as well. And I'm just wondering if the bloom is off that pairing. You know, they tried them together to start the year. It didn't work. They separated them. To be honest, I think Monahan's gone the best he's gone this year when he was playing with Versteeg and Brouwer. They put them back together, and when you haven't seen that magic. Sean Monahan's last even strength goal is December 4th. The last 15 games, he hasn't had an even strength goal. Matt Stajan almost has as many even strength points in the last dozen games as Gaudreau and Monahan combined. Okay, so that's speaking volumes of where this team is at in their production. Michael Backlund, Matthew Tkachuk, Michael Frolik, those guys are running the show. If those guys weren't going, this team would be a train wreck right now. So they are carrying the mail. They're carrying everything you can carry as a line at even strength right now. And they need other, they need something else from the other six that make up that so-called top nine, because right now the fourth line is scoring more often than anyone else other than that 3M line, if you want to call them that. So definitely they, you wonder if maybe this week you don't see a little tweak to the lineup. Do they try separating Gaudreau and Monahan again? Do they maybe try Bennett back on the wing? Cause it looks like he's kind of hitting a wall a little bit. Glenn Gulletson has talked before about how Sam Bennett takes it pretty hard, and he wants to produce. And when he's not producing, he kind of gets in a little bit of a funk. And maybe just freeing him a little bit of the responsibility that comes with playing center might be good, just a little bit of a break. So maybe we'll see something like that. But I would expect to maybe see a little bit of a shuffling, because they really need to start getting some scoring from someone other than that Backlund, Tkachuk, and Frolik line.
And that's another part where you can't really figure out what this Flames team is, because on the one hand, it's okay, they're in a playoff spot and their best players, for the most part, have not been their best players this season. But on the other hand, you're worried, okay, well, if they don't turn it around, they're being carried by a line that you start to wonder how much longer can they carry them. So it's this entire conversation has made me realize I know absolutely nothing about where this team is going.
Well, and that's what I tweeted it out this morning. We're 43 games in and we don't really have any idea. You know, there are parts where they look like they could be a team that could play into late May, and there are times where it looks like they could be, you know, looking for a pretty good draft lottery, pick, right? So it's kind of been a yin and yang, and yeah, they've been a lot better since November 15th. Special teams has really been a huge factor in that, and it's always going to be a big factor, so I don't want to discount that, but at 5-on-5, those special teams aren't going to go at the clip they've been going lately. So you're going to need to pick up your 5-on-5. And if they're not picking up at 5-on-5, they're going to be in trouble. So, you know, whether it's changing up the line combos a little bit, but somehow they've got to get these guys going. I hear people criticizing Alex Chiasson. Look, what are your expectations from Alex Chiasson? Patrick Seeloff was the guy that was used to get Alex Chiasson. I mean, this is a guy that's probably playing out of his element. He probably plays at his best on the third or fourth line. He's being used on the first line. I'm sorry. Between Monahan and Gaudreau, they're making, what, north of $13 million combined? You can't hang their lack of performance on Alex Chiasson. I'm not buying that. So there's more that needs to happen there. Michael Ferland, another guy who's really kind of, his offense has dried up. I think he's still been a very good player, but it seems like once he moves off the fourth line, it just doesn't seem to be able to produce the same way. He's producing more on the fourth line. So there are some question marks there. So now we just kind of sit back and be fascinated as we watch it unfold in what will be a very busy coming up period for the team.
And they do make a bit of a move yesterday, sending Tyler Wotherspoon down. Brett Kulak comes up. These are kind of interchangeable parts to me at this point. I don't think one has really stood out from the other over the last even couple seasons. Do you have a preference of Kulak over Wotherspoon? And how do you think the Flames, or what do you think of the Flames handling of these two guys over the last 18 months or so?
Yeah, Wotherspoon is a mystery for me. I mean, he gets in the lineup. I feel like he's running out of time for sure. I get the sense that they like Brett Kulak more. Certainly he's a more dynamic presence. Kulak is a guy that if they want to kind of, you know, push the tempo a little bit and have the really good puck distributors, Brett Kulak is a guy that has a little bit more of that in his game. Now there are times where, gee, you think, well, it wouldn't hurt to have a pretty solid defensive guy in Tyler Wotherspoon, but in his, you know, short periods of time that he's got out there, he's made a few mistakes too. So that's not kind of, that hasn't helped his cause, but that's to me is another big weakness. I mean, I think it's like, I would love to see TJ Brody with another good defenseman, not named Dennis Wiedemann, a nicknamed Jyrki Jokipäkä. I think that's something that is absent on this team, but I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to address that until the summer. But they are certainly a little thin on defense. Maybe Brett Kulak can be that guy, and I think they got to get him back in the lineup. I would expect him to play against San Jose just because I think they need the fresh legs and maybe the you know, the energy, the raw excitement that comes with a young player that really has something to play for. I mean, what are the rookies in the lineup right now? I mean, it's Matthew Tkachuk, but he's pretty much a veteran. He's not playing for his job at this point. There's Garnet Hathaway, but, you know, playing 8 minutes a night, what can he do? He kind of does what he can in that time, but maybe Brett Kulak can provide a little pop to the defense that seems to have hit a bit of a sag here.
Now we have a contest going where we're sending two people to the All-Star Game January 28th and 30th in Los Angeles. All-Star Game, skills competition, party, all of this stuff. When the two people from Calgary head down there, which member of the Flames do you think they will be watching in Los Angeles?
Who do I think they will, or who do I think they should?
We'll go should first.
Michael Backlund, hands down. I think he should be the guy. I think he's having a great year. I think he's been their best forward, hands down. He should be the guy, but will he be the guy? I highly doubt it. I mean, this is a format that caters to Johnny Gaudreau. Who's going to attract interest in Los Angeles? Are people coming to watch Michael Backlund? Unfortunately, probably not. Johnny Gaudreau is going to be the name. So I think that's who it's going to be, and I don't think that's a bad thing for Calgary. Michael Backlund plays a lot. I think a 5-day break is going to be important because this guy is centering the team's best line. So I think it'll work out okay for Calgary, but I feel bad for Michael Backlund because he should be the guy.
I think you're vastly underestimating the value of a 200-foot center in a 3-on-3 All-Star game, sir. I can't believe you're just selling him so short like that. First of all, where can people find your work? And secondly, what are you working on going forward here?
Flamesfromitifeet.ca is the website. I'm just poking around, just seeing what's topical lately. So that's the place to find me. Darren W. Haynes on Twitter. Always got some sort of dribble coming out. And I guess we're just moving forward. I'm fascinated by this whole kind of even strength thing right now. That's something that I might be piecing something together on just because they're really struggling at even strength, and it's been very well disguised because of the special teams performance and because of, you know, how well the backline line is going and because of how soft the schedule's been lately. But there are some issues there, and are there, you know, as an old minor hockey coach, I love kind of tinkering with line combos. Is there something more to be had there? Can they tinker things around? Do they have to break up Tkachuk, Backlund, Frolik? You know, these are all questions, and that would be a shame to do so because they've been so good. But is that a way you can get maybe two lines going instead of one? So there's some fascinating things to get into, and I'll have to get tapping out something on that topic fairly soon.
Yeah, this is a team that certainly gives you a lot of things to talk about, and you're one of the best at talking about it. So thanks for taking some time today.
All right, have a good day, Peter.
You too. That is Darren Haynes. Again, the blog is Flames from 80 Feet.